your children, because of the money that you've earned, because of what you're doing or not doing. So that's a ni'mah. You're worried about them. You see how when you have a new child, especially the first one, you start being extra cautious with everything. The food that you want to feed them, the water, the clothes, the detergent, this and that, because you want to save them and you want the best for them. So you try to protect them from anything that could harm them. Sin is the most harmful thing. So if you bring it to your home, you are hurting your child. Just like if you're bringing bad food and you're feeding it to them. Right? So this is a ni'mah that is present. You could lose it. Or something you're waiting for and it's delayed and it's not happening. One of the things that you will need to do is say, am I disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal? And that's the reason for that delay. And again, not every delay happens because of sin. But Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, it's the ni'mah killer. Sin is the ni'mah killer. So you're waiting, you want something to come to you from Allah Azza wa Jal. You want a better job, you want to get married. See, a lot of people want to get married. You say, well, I mean, it's not happening or it's delayed. I'm not finding the right person, etc., etc., etc. One of the best ways to get a spouse is to obey Allah Azza wa Jal fully. To obey Allah. To kind of have a checklist of what am I missing from my life when it comes to my salah? Because you can't really be okay with Allah Azza wa Jal and your salah is not fine. So my salah, my fasting, my zakah, that I stay away from haram, that I do the obligations, how am I with my parents, how am I with this. And when you are closer to Allah Azza wa Jal, then your dua is more likely to be accepted. And the path of the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal will be unblocked. Now, I do not promise you that if you do this, it's 100% guarantee that you're going to get everything that you want in life. Life doesn't work like that. Right? There are things in life that you are simply not are going to get because it's not destined. But at least if it is destined, it's going to come and you're not blocking it. And if it is not destined, Allah Azza wa Jal, because you are close to Him, will put satisfaction and contentment in your heart and will give you something better than the thing that is not coming. So you see, it's kind of a win-win. You're not really losing. So that is a very important medicine that you should use with yourself, but also use with others when that next life doesn't terrify them. Let this life terrify you. You're going to lose the ni'mas of Allah Azza wa Jal. So I thought to kind of, we need to emphasize this before we move on and before we leave it. So anyone who wants something from Allah Azza wa Jal, لا ينال ما عند الله بمعصيته. You're not going to get what Allah has and only Allah has by disobeying Him. So you want Allah to give it to you. You say, Ya Allah, help me with this, help me with that, grant me this. How are you going to unlock what Allah has? And only Allah has, nobody else does. How are you going to unlock that? By upsetting Him. You say, Ya Allah, I'm going to upset you by earning from haram or by leaving my house, adorning myself with haram, and yet I want a husband. Right? How is this going to work? And even if you get what you want through disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal, do you think there will be barakah in it? Just think about it. Some people think that they're smart, right? So yeah, I'll know how to cut corners and get what I want by dishonesty, hypocrisy, disobedience. And you think you're smart because you got it. You're going to outsmart Allah Azza wa Jal. يخادعون الله وهو خادعهم. You're going to try to fool Allah. You're being fooled. Do you think that you're getting something good by disobeying Allah? So it's important to keep that in mind. Allah knows your heart and knows your intent and knows all of your actions and knows what you hide and what you publicize. So keep that in mind, that if you want something from Allah Azza wa Jal, obey Him. And though the path could seem longer, it is the steadiest and safest of paths. He then moves on, rahimahullah, and he says, وَمِنْ عُقُوبَاتِهَا, from its punishment and consequences of sin, is that it distances you from your ally. And he is here going to start talking about the angels. And the angel being your companion and the angel being your ally, your strongest ally. So he's saying, it will distance you from your ally. And the most beneficial of Allah's creation to you, and the one who gives you the best advice, and you will find happiness in their proximity to you. وَهُوَ الْمَلَكُ الْمُوَكَّلُ بِهِ, and he is the angels who had been assigned to him. So now we know that there is a devil that is assigned to you, قَرِين. Right? Now he's saying that there is also a malak that is assigned to you, right? Who's with you. So he says, sin, what does it do? He says, it will distance that angel from you, وَتُدْنِي مِنْهُ عَدُوَّهُ, and will bring your enemy closest to you, the one who cheats you the most, the one who harms you the most, and that is the shaitan. So this sin has this dual effect at the same time, because the angels and the devils do not coexist at the same location at the same time with the same person. If one is present, the other one is absent or distant. So he says, if you're going to sin, one will leave and one come close. So the one that benefits you the most leaves, and the one that harms you the most comes close to you. He says, this is what you're doing to yourself when you disobey Allah Azza wa Jal. There's an exchange. Okay? And he'll tell you what you lose when that happens. قَالَ فَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا عَصَى اللَّهَ تَبَاعَدَ مِنْهُ الْمَلَكُ بِقَدَرِ تِلْكَ الْمَعْصِيَةِ حتى إنه لا يتباعد منه بالكذبة الواحدة مسافة بعيدة. He says, because a person, when they disobey Allah Azza wa Jal, an angel will be distant from him or move away from him in proportion to the gravity of that sin. So much so that with one lie, he would run away from him or be really far from him with one lie. So in proportion to the or gravity of the sin, the angel will distance himself from you, will run away from you. And even with one lie, he said, rahimahullah, there's a great distance that you're going to create between you and an angel that is assigned to you. قَالَ وَفِي بَعْضِ الْأَثَارِ, he has kind of adapted this from some of the traditions. As far as hadith, it is weak, but it's a tradition. إِذَا كَذَبَ الْعَبْدُ تَبَاعَدَ مِنْهُ الْمَلَكُ مِيلًا مِنْ نَتَنِ رِيحِهِ. He says, if a person lies, the angel will be distant from him the distance of a mile. A mile is as far as the eye can see, whatever that distance may be. As far as the eye could see, he says, from the stench that he produces when he lies. So this is not something perceptible, right? Like, when you lie, do you smell something from yourself or people around you? No. You don't smell it. But who smells it? This is the angel. Subhanallah, though, at one time the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was with one of his companions or some of his companions. And then a stench or an awful smell blew by them. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the hypocrites have passed away. Right? One of the hypocrites have passed away. That hypocrisy, that disbelief, eventually manifested as a stench that came out. And it was what? Perceived. Right? It was perceived. They were aware of it. So, yes, most of the time it doesn't. But maybe sometimes, especially when it's really heinous and the person is really bad, that could happen. But here he said that the angel, when you lie, there's a stench to it that he is repulsed by, so he leaves. So he said, if an angel will create a distance between him and you because of one lie, what do you think is going to happen when the crime is bigger? Right? When do you think is going to happen when the crime is bigger? قال وقال بعض السلف إذا ركب الذكر الذكر عجت الأرض إلى الله وهربت الملائكة إلى ربها وشكت إليه عظيم ما رأت. That's an example he's giving. Again, another tradition that is saying, when a male has intercourse with another male, he says the land will cry out to Allah Azza wa Jal, and the angels will run to Allah complaining about what they have just seen. Right? From the gravity of that sin, that sin right now is celebrated. Right? That sin now is celebrated. It's all love. No one should be against love, etc., etc., etc. And people are happy when more of that spreads. But in reality, this is what is happening according to Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah. He says the land itself cries to Allah Azza wa Jal because of the gravity of that sin. And it's not limited to that sin, but that sin in particular is harmful. He says the earth itself, the land itself cries to Allah, and the angels, they run, they flee. Ya Allah, we saw something horrendous, something terrible. So if because of its spread and popularity you think it is nothing, think again. Because we don't judge by what people like and dislike. Like today it's okay, tomorrow it's not okay. So we just move with the flow. And what's wrong with it? Why is it that you don't see anything wrong with it? Because people around you have gotten used to it? Our judgment is divine judgment. Right? Right? Our judgment is divine judgment. Allah tells us what is right and what is wrong. Not shifting consensus or opinions. So, وقال بعض السلف, as some of the Salaf have said, إِذَا أَصْبَحَ الْعَبْدُ إِبْتَدَرَهُ الْمَلَكُ وَالشَّيْطَانِ. He says, when a person wakes up in the morning, the angel and the shaitan, they race towards him. فَإِذَا ذَكَرَ اللَّهِ, because they want to see how is he going to start his day. So they race towards him. If he remembers Allah by takbir, saying Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, meaning the dhikr of Allah. So he starts with the dhikr of Allah, the angel will chase away the shaitan. That's the beginning of the day. But if he begins with something else, the angel departs and the shaitan becomes his ally. So the beginning of the day matters. How do you start? Do you start it with salah? Do you start it with dhikr? Do you start it with wudu? So when you do this, you're chasing away what? The shaitan. And you're embracing and being embraced by the angel of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then the rest of your day is likely to be better. But of course, you have to stay on guard. Can't just let go. Fine, I'm protected the rest of the day. No, you have to stay on guard. But at least you started the right way. So there's a dhikr, there's a dua once you wake up. Have to look for it, memorize it, or write it down. So when you wake up, you read it until you memorized it. Huh? Because you want the first thing you say when you wake up is Allah's name. And before you go to sleep, and we will see this, you want the last thing that you want to say is Allah's name. The beginning and the conclusion is Allah Azza wa Jal. Then you're being aided and protected. Right? So he says, how do you begin your day matters? And if you feel that some of those days, your day is just not going right, go back to how you began it. And the following day, change the start of your day. Put more of Allah Azza wa Jal in it. put more of the Quran in it to set you on the right course, then bi-idhnillah azza wa jal, the rest of the day will be better. So how you start? قال ولا يزال الملك يقرب من العبد حتى يصير الحكم والطاعة والغلبة له. He says, and the angel will continue, meaning if you continue, the angel will continue to get closer to you until the dominion, until the power is his. Not for the shaitan, but for the angel. Meaning he has the greater power. He's the one who's protecting you. He's the one who's guiding you. Then the angel will be your ally, your protector, your helper during your life and death and resurrection. Right? So he says, as Allah Azza wa Jal had said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Those who will say Allah is our Rabb, then they are straight, then the angels will keep descending upon them. Do not be afraid or sad, and receive the good news of Jannah that you were promised. We are your allies in the dunya and in the akhirah. Right? So those who say what? رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ, that is the statement of Iman. Allah Azza wa Jalla is our Rabb. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, then they are straight. This is interesting, they are straight. Once, like do you decide I'm going to be straight once? Or every day? Every day. Actually every hour. Right? That's istiqama. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us with a straight path. Why am I asking for this if I am already on the straight path? Because you could divert easily, you could lose it. So you need to come back to it and keep coming back to it and coming back to it. And so when you say, رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, Allah is our Rabb, and they are straight, meaning they're continuously straight. They keep fighting and fighting and fighting with the dunya around them, a dunya that is crooked. They keep fighting to continue to be straight. You think that's easy? It isn't, because you're fighting this entire world around you that wants you to be crooked, that wants to destroy you, that wants to strip you of iman and conviction. But you keep fighting against it and you are straight. But you say, I am so weak and I'm alone, and how much power do I have? Allah tells you, تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَ, the angels keep descending upon them. He didn't say تَنزِلُ, they just descend. تَتَنَزَّلُوا, they keep descending and coming down and strengthening them and supporting them. One time after the other, one time after the other, one time after the other. They don't let go, they don't stop, because they are becoming your helpers. And this is what they say, لَا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, don't be afraid, don't be sad. We are your allies. Believe in the promise of Allah that He had given to you, which is paradise. We will be always there with you, supporting you. And he said, and Allah also said, إِذْ يُوحِي رَبُّكَ إِلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ أَنِّي مَعَكُمْ فَثَبِّتُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. When Allah inspires and reveals to the angels, I am with you, so support the believers. Subhanallah. Allah said to the angels, إِنِّي مَعَكُمْ, I'm with you. And it's really such a beautiful thing when you believe, when you feel that Allah is with you. Right? Because when you believe that you have someone like a strong support, strong back, something to lean on, you're strong. Right? You're strong. Like you have a wealthy benefactor, you have a politician, you have someone in the army, I don't know, whatever, depending on what country you're in and your situation, but someone, a family member, if something happens, I can contact them, I'm fine. So because you have that, you're strong. It doesn't matter how weak or strong you personally are, your support is strong. So when you believe that Allah Azza wa Jal is with you, because you are with Him, you're the strongest. Inni ma'akum, I'm with you. And if Allah is with you, who is stronger than you? Even if you're alone. Even if seemingly those who oppose Allah have all the material power on earth. They have all the media, and they do. They have all the arms, and they do. They have all the tricks up their sleeves, and they do. And you say, how can I even prosper against all of this? What do you have? Allah Azza wa Jal. If you have Allah, then they have nothing. And then Allah says, "Inni ma'akum, I'm with you, fathabbitu alladhina amanu." Support and strengthen the believers. Support them physically, support them mentally and emotionally, support their iman. Support them against doubt. Support them against the whispers of shaitan. In whatever way they need support, thabbituhum. Make them steadfast and strong. Feed them. Teach them. Strengthen them. Answer their questions. Guide them. Inspire them. Protect them. Make dua for them. All of it. Whatever comes to your mind of legitimate support, they will support. And that is available. So that no one feels that they are defenseless or that they are alone. You are never alone, because we're talking about Allah, who is always with you, and He has signed an angel that is always with you if you choose for Him to be with you. Because we said you can, what? You can chase Him away if you want. But if you want Him with you, He will be with you. فَيَقُولُ الْمَلَكُ عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ. So the angel will say at the time of death, and this is a difficult time, he will say, لا تخف ولا تحزن. Don't be afraid, don't be sad. And expect what will please you and make you happy. وَيُثَبِّتُهُ بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ. And he will strengthen him with a strong saying, the truthful saying, when he needs it the most in this world, and when he dies, and when he being questioned in the grave. الْقَوْلُ الثَّابِتِ. يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ. Allah will strengthen those who have iman with the established strong words. And these are the words of iman. The words of La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. Honesty, and anything that is pleasing to Allah, it is what? A strong, heavy statement that establishes you as a strong believer. Steadfast, unwavering, undefeated. That's al-qawlu thabit. So anyone who has la ilaha illallah, anyone who is honest, anyone who obeys Allah Azza wa Jal, is established with all of this, with strength and prominence and defense against his enemies. So he said they will come down with that in his life, when he's about to die, and when he's being questioned in the grave. Allah Azza wa Jal comes to your aid. So at those moments, again, you may say to yourself, okay, I'm trying, but I'm not that strong. I'm trying, but I'm afraid that at the moment of a test, a moment of difficulty, I may kind of lose my footing. I may waver, I may. But he says, no, if you are with Allah Azza wa Jal, genuinely, He will come to your aid at that moment of difficulty. He will support you at that moment of difficulty. He'll increase your patience. He'll increase your conviction. He will bring people to support you, or angels to support you. You will do what you cannot do now. You can carry what you cannot carry now. But you have to be genuinely now with Allah Azza wa Jal to be able what is not be you're able to carry later on. But you have to be with Him right now. So the Muslims in Badr, mathematically, number-wise, they should not defeat their enemies. And in following battles, and after the Prophet ﷺ, where the percentage or the ratio is more than 2-1 or 3-1 or 4-1, they're not supposed to win those battles. But they win those battles. Because if Allah is with you, then you are on a winning streak. Even if it looks like you're losing, you're not losing, you're on a winning streak. But you need to be with Allah Azza wa Jal. And then the path of the unimaginable opens. Literally, the unimaginable opens, right? So he says, فَلَيْسَ أَحَدٌ أَنْفَعُ لِلْعَبْدِ مِنْ صُحْبَةِ الْمَلَكِ لَهُ. He says, there is no better companionship to you than the companionship of the angel. Right? No better and more lasting than the companionship of the angel. He says, he is your ally. When you're awake, when you're asleep, when you're alive, when you're dead, in your grave. وَمُؤْنِسُهُ فِي وَحْشَتِهِ وَصَحِبُهُ فِي خَلْوَتِهِ. He is the one who will console you and comfort you when you're alone, when you have no one around. He is the one that will talk to you and comfort you. So in a sense, subhanAllah, you're never really alone. You're never alone because Allah is always with you. And He says, but also the angel, what does he do? When there is wahsha, disconnect between you and people, you're feeling alienated, you're feeling alone, you're feeling desolate, He says the angel will come and he will comfort you. And he will converse with you, not in an audible fashion, but through your heart. There's that comfort that will enter your heart. And that is His presence, talking to you through your heart. وَصَحِبُهُ فِي خَلْوَتِهِ. And He's your companion when no one is around. Companion meaning friend, right? Supporter when no one is around. وَمُحَدِّثُهُ فِي سِرِّهِ. He speaks to you privately. He says, He fends off your enemy, right? And He protects you and assists you and promises you that good is coming your way and gives you that glad tiding, those good news, and urges him and pushes him to believe in the truth from Allah Azza wa Jal. So he says, there's كَمَا جَاءَ فِي الْأَثَرِ. And the following is a hadith, and the following is, wallahu alam, authentic. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم إن للملك بقلب ابن آدم لمة وللشيطان لمة. He says the angel has a لمة, has proximity or has a touch or has an influence upon the heart of the child of Adam, and the shaitan the same. As for the influence of the angel, it is إعاد بالخير وتصديق بالوعد. It is promising you that good things are coming and that you should believe in the promise of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Meaning, believe in Allah's promise and expect the best. But as for the influence or the touch of the shaitan in your heart, it is i'adun bisharri wa takdhibun bilhaq. Meaning, disbelieve in Allah's promise and expect the worst. So he's telling you that you are going to feel that influence of the angel or the shaitan in your heart. He will touch it. He will push it. He said, well, how do I know? He says, what are you feeling? If your heart is being pushed towards sin, then what is happening? Is it an angel? No, shaitan is kind of playing with your heart. If you feel alienation, distance from Allah's promises, even an extent of, is it even true? Maybe, but maybe not. Who's playing with your heart? Shaitan. Now, some people don't realize this and they start thinking, oh, that is me. But that's not you. Is every evil thought that comes into your mind you? No, you have to distinguish between the two. And it's a calamity when you're unable to distinguish, because some non-Muslims, and maybe Muslims, whatever comes to your mind, to their mind, you say, maybe that is me. And they just open the door for it, and it just leads them into destruction, perversion. That can't be the case, right? That cannot be the case. So no, you have to know, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, this is not true, this is false. That's not me, there's someone talking to me. That's the shaitan, that's the influence of the shaitan. So if you believe that, if you feel that, distance from Allah, distance from His promise, or this is never going to work, dua is not going to work, salah is not going to work, stuff like that, that's the influence of the shaitan. And if once you detect it, then you know what to do. But then you have what? You have the influence of the angel. And what is the influence of the angel? You find yourself inclined towards ibadah, inclined towards Allah, believing in His promise, devout, humble. You feel that you want to cry, you feel that you want to do more. You feel that if you do something, Allah will reward you a lot for it. That's a push from the angel. So praise Allah Azza wa Jalla for it. So the hadith tells you there is a lemma. There's an influence, like actually you could feel it, of the angel and of the shaitan. قَالَ وَإِذَا اشْتَدَّ قُرْبُ الْمَلَكِ مِنَ الْعَبْدِ تَكَلَّمَ عَلَى لِسَانِهِ. Right? تَكَلَّمَ عَلَى لِسَانِهِ. He says, when the angel is very close to someone, he'll speak on his tongue. Right? And I want everybody, inshallah, without pointing it out, pay attention to me, inshallah. Leave what is in your hands. Okay? So from the adab of sitting in a halaqa, is that your eyes are on me. Okay? You're not occupied with something else, inshallah. We got that? Inshallah. So if I see it again, I'll point you out, inshallah. So وَإِذَا اشْتَدَّ قُرْبُ الْمَلَكِ مِنَ الْعَبْدِ. He says, if the angel is close to a servant or to a person, he's very close to you. تَكَلَّمَ عَلَى لِسَانِهِ. He'll speak on your tongue. Meaning he'll inspire you to say the truth. It doesn't mean that you get possessed by an angel and you become an angel. And everything that you say is just angelic. No, that's not true. That's not what is meant here. What is meant is what? So close that he will put words on your tongue. He will guide you. That's part of the guidance that you deserve. But it's also a favor from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Meaning you did something to get it, but it's a favor from Allah Azza wa Jalla. قَالَ وَأَلْقَى عَلَى لِسَانِهِ الْقَوْلَ السَّدِيدِ. And he will make him speak the truth. Something that is perceptive, something that is right, something that is beneficial. قَالَ. But if he is distant from him, and the shaitan is close to him, he will speak on his tongue. And he will make him speak falsehood and obscenities. So if you find yourself, right, speaking an obscenity, liking it, spreading it, shaitan, speaking on your tongue. You had become an agent of the shaitan. Because that's what he wants. حَتَّى يُرَى الرَّجُلُ يَتَكَلَّمُ عَلَى لِسَانِهِ الْمَلَكُ وَالرَّجُلُ يَتَكَلَّمُ عَلَى لِسَانِهِ الشَّيْطَانِ. You will see that, that a person, when he speaks, it's as if the angel is speaking. And another, when he speaks, as if the shaitan is speaking. Right? Subhanallah. قَالَ وَفِي الْحَدِيثِ إِنَّ السَّكِينَةَ تَنْطِقُ عَلَى لِسَانِ عُمَرِ. He says, in the hadith, the Sahaba, they would say, and this is authentic, كُنَّا نَرَى أَنَّ السَّكِينَةَ تَنْطِقُ عَلَى لِسَانِ عُمَرِ. We used to believe or see that sakina, tranquility, speaks on the tongue of Umar. And this sakina could be one of the creations of Allah Azza wa Jal, or could be an angel. Right? A sakina could be one of the creations of Allah Azza wa Jal, that if it speaks on the tongue of Umar, means he speaks with tranquility, with sakina, with the truth. But we have also another hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that describes Umar as a muhaddath. And if there's a muhaddath in my ummah, it is Umar. If there's someone who is inspired in my ummah, it is Umar. And what does muhaddath mean? Means that the angel talks to his heart, so he speaks. He doesn't hear anything. Right? That's to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That would be revelation, wahi. But he speaks to his heart, and though so Umar radiallahu anhu speaks the truth. And Umar was known to being very perceptive. Like he would see a person and he'd say, I think that he is such and such. There's no evidence to suggest this. I think that he is such and such. Turns out that he is such and such. Right? Where did he get that? That's nothing innate. That's not a power that Umar has. No one has that power. But that is a gift from Allah Azza wa Jal. And so the angel speaks on the tongue of Umar. This is what he's saying. Right? وَكَانَ أَحَدُهُمْ يَسْمَعُ الْكَلِمَةَ الصَّالِحَةِ مِنَ الرَّجُلِ الصَّالِحِ فَيَقُولُ مَا أَلْقَهَا عَلَى لِسَانِكَ إِلَّا الْمَلَكِ. He says, and a person would hear a good word from someone, and he would say in reply to it, only an angel put this on your tongue. Or he would hear the opposite of it, a wicked statement, and you say the shaitan put this on your tongue. And this really need here to pause a bit and learn something from it, several things from it. First of all, realize that the shaitan and the angel could speak on your own tongue. So if you are pious, if you're close to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if you have iman, maybe you're speaking the truth and that truth is from an angel. You say one thing and it just mends a relationship. You say one thing and it consoles the person so much it takes away their sorrow. It comforts them. It makes them leave a sin. Or love Allah Azza wa Jalla. Or, meaning there's a lot of benefit in it. There is tremendous reward in it. Who put it on your tongue? It's not you. It's an angel. Right? So that's a ni'mah from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And you sometimes could notice this from yourself, maybe, or maybe not, but at least you've said something and it was very beneficial. And the opposite is true. You will sometimes say things during a heated exchange, when your iman is really low, when the shaitan somehow has control over you, you see something so terrible, so wicked, you shouldn't say it. And you later on, you know that you shouldn't have said it. Who put it on your tongue? They said the shaitan dragged you into it. So both are a possibility. This tongue, the shaitan is writing it or the angel is writing it. The same person could experience both. So here you have to control your tongue when your iman is low. And you know that the shaitan could use it against you and against anybody. One word can break a relationship. One word can break a friendship. One word, you may not be ever be able to apologize for it. One. So you could break a person, their reputation, their heart, their ego, whatever, you could break it and you can never take it back. So if you want to speak the truth, say the truth, be honest, say the truth and be close to Allah so the angel is aiding you. And don't be close to the shaitan so that the shaitan is using you against yourself and against others. So that's the first thing I wanted to say about it. Second, I don't want when someone hears about how Umar radiallahu anhu was, or that the angel could speak on your tongue, to think that the prize for their taqwa is this. Meaning they want to be close to Allah to get this. Did Allah promise you that this is going to happen to you if you are obedient to Him? Because sometimes this could be very attractive. The supernatural compensations for taqwa. Oh, I want the angel kind of to speak on my tongue. And then the shaitan will know this from you. Oh, his intent is not Allah Azza wa Jal. He wants favors. He wants miracles. He wants supernatural activities around him. I'll give him something. Right? I'll give him something. So he will tell you, the shaitan is going to come from the shaitan. It's not going to come from the angel. He'll put words on your tongue and they will seem perceptive. Right? Just like a magician. It'll seem perceptive. And then you say to yourself, MashaAllah, I'm such a good person. Like, look how insightful I am. I know about this, I know about this. I've always able to fix this and this and this. I must be very close to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the shaitan said, I got him. This is what he wanted. I got him. He can't tell the difference. His intention is not Allah. He wants these gifts. Fine, I'll give it to him. And then he plays with you. Your taqwa is to get you where? Jannah, not to get you worldly favors. So maybe, maybe you'll be very close to Allah Azza wa Jal and you're hardly the eloquent person. You don't have firasa, you don't have insight, you don't have these things. It doesn't matter. Don't look for them. Don't look for them. Don't anticipate. And if they happen to be, meaning you speak and you speak the truth and you're speaking well and you're helping people, don't admire yourself. Because who's the one who enabled this and facilitated that? It's the angel. Allah gave it, but it's from an angel. It's a gift. It's not yours. And that's important, right? It's not yours. So don't admire yourself. Because as it was given to you, it could be taken away. Right? So no self-admiration. No self-glory. If Allah decides to give it to you, alhamdulillah. But it is for the service of others, for the help of others. It's not for you to look at yourself and say, oh, how beautiful am I? Huh? A third thing is, if this is true with the believers, that the shaitan can use their tongue to speak and spread his falsehood, how true is that about the non-believers? Yeah? It's dominant. So, I don't mean by that to say that every word that a non-Muslim says is false. That's not true. That every statement that a non-Muslim has comes from the shaitan. That's not true. They sometimes have wisdom, right? They sometimes speak the truth. Sometimes they take noble positions. You have to admit that. That is there. And sometimes you could learn from them. Right? Yeah. But what dominates overall, because they're not close to Allah Azza wa Jal, is that the shaitan does speak on their tongues. Especially those who are sinning and their sin is excessive and repeated. So when they write stories, novels, books, and what have you, how much of that is on the tongue of the shaitan? And again, notice, I'm not telling you everything. But I'm telling you, when the shaitan possesses a person, dominates their life, a lot of what they're saying comes and is inspired by the shaitan. So when they write these fiction stories that you read, I'm not saying they're haram, but I'm just wanting you to be alert. When they write, even their nonfiction, when they produce movies, when the lyricists who produce music, what are these lyrics coming from? Where is this inspiration coming from? An angel or the shaitan? What words are you listening to? What is feeding your heart? What is changing your mind? I'm not exaggerating, am I? When politicians speak, who's inspiring this? When they lie and you know that they're lying and you're baffled that they could lie and they're so bad at it, who's speaking? Shaitan. Shaitan is speaking. So I want you to be aware that in most of what you see in the world today, if you were just to remove the curtain, find the shaitan talking. And again, it's not an exaggeration. As a Muslim, you should be aware of all of this. All this advertisement. All of these things they're pushing on you. All of that information, a lot of it, most of it, is being inspired by shaitan. And so you have to understand how much of a pushback we need to have in order to overcome this. And the first is to decolonize your mind. Because our minds are occupied. Our minds are occupied by the narrative of the shaitan, by the wishes of the shaitan, by the reality of the shaitan. But what you see around you is not real. What do you see around you is all fake. It's not just news that is fake. News is fake, right? Advertisement is fake. Celebrities are fake. Fame is fake. Politicians are fake. Structures are fake. Everything is fake. And behind it is shaitan. Is that extreme? No, I don't really think so. But only when you know this will you be able to change it. And if you don't know it, you become part of it. You can't be part of it. That's shaitan. Right? So again, I'm not saying everything that they have is absolutely wrong. No, I'm not saying this. But I'm saying a lot of it is. So he says, فَالْمَلَكُ يُلْقِي فِي الْقَلْبِ الْحَقَّ وَيُلْقِيهِ عَلَى اللِّسَانِ. He says, this angel will inspire the truth in your heart and tongue. And the devil will do the opposite, inspire falsehood in your heart and in your tongue. And he says, so with the punishment of sin is that it will distance you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the angel and for being close to him, and will bring your enemy closer to you. He says, to the extent that the angel will defend you. That is, if you are close to Allah Azza wa Jal and the angel is close to you, that the angel will defend you and reply if you are insulted, the insults of the foolish. So it brings here a hadith, and it is sahih, and this is wallahu a'lam Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. He says, when there were two men next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one of them was insulting or attacking the other, and the other one was quiet, and that is Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. He was quiet. He didn't reply with a word. And then after few more insults, few more put downs, he started to kind of reply, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up and left. So this man rushed after the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. He said, O Prophet of Allah, when I just started to reply some of what he was saying to me, you stood up and left. Why did you leave? He said, while you were quiet and I was sitting, there was an angel replying on your behalf, defending you, giving it back to him, right? فَلَمَّا رَدَدْتَ عَلَيْهِ. But when you started your own personal replies, the shaitan came, and I was not going to sit with the place that the shaitan is in, so I left. And so, subhanAllah, and I want to kind of stop here to give some time for the questions. SubhanAllah, the thing here is, you may view that silence as weakness. And subhanAllah, it is amazing how the Prophet ﷺ is so transformative. We don't really give him credit or appreciate how transformative he is. Because human instincts will tell you what, if somebody insults you, insult him back, right? Says one word bad, you say 10, right? Are you weak? Are you a wimp? What are you? Can't defend yourself? Can't defend this, can't defend that? So if you follow that logic, and the shaitan will do what? He'll blow into it until you're red in the face. And you want to punch him. See? And you think this is normal. Because everybody acts like this and nobody challenges it. Here you have the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam sitting. A prophet, not a prophet only, the prophet. The best of the prophet. He's sitting and the sahabi is quiet. And the Prophet is not intervening. That wasn't weakness. That is strength. And though you may not be aware of it, but the angel will be defending you. He say, you're this and this. And he will say, no, he is not this. You're more worthy of it. You're the son of this and of that. You're lying and Allah will punish you for it. And so the angel is defending you. So that silence is strength. That silence is the presence of angels. That silence is wisdom. And so when you started to defend yourself, though it is permissible, but this is going to lead to a conflict, to an argument. So he says, now the shaitan is present. The Prophet ﷺ is going to leave. And he leaves to teach a lesson. Right? So we didn't finish this. Right? We didn't finish this about the angels. I just want to also want to give some time, inshallah, for questions, because our time is limited, and tackle some of the questions we had last week, inshallah. So let me know, inshallah. If you have questions, just raise your hand. We have someone. Tafadhal.
Done. But is there another part of the one before that you do more good, the angel comes closer? Is that always the case?
That's always the case, that whenever you do something good, that brings in the angel closer to you. Inshallah. Tafadhal. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. So money is what you make of it. Money for a lot of people is a fitna. But money could also be a ni'mah, and also it also depends on what you do with it. So you ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect you from its harm, so that you love Allah more than you love it, and you use it to please Allah rather than to displease Him. So if you see money, money could go either way. And the Prophet ﷺ called it in the hadith, it's khair, and praised it in some hadith, and criticized it in some other hadith, depending on what it does to the soul. So, is it a ni'mah, is it a fitna? It's both, depending on the person who is receiving it. Let me, inshallah, just address some of the, inshallah. See, we don't have time for all of this, but inshallah, I'll be quick. Talking about zina and its punishment, inshallah, this is coming, inshallah. So one person wants us to talk about it, it's coming, inshallah. How do you seek knowledge in a post-secondary student? How do you seek knowledge? The best way, wallahu a'lam, is to join a structured program online or locally, because that will keep you disciplined, inshallah, keep you motivated. You'll have tests, you'll have feedback from your teacher, you'll have opportunities to ask and then receive questions. So if there is something structured, then that would be the best, especially if you don't have a lot of motivation. Especially as the other questioner said, you've reached a point and you feel stuck. So something that is structured will be very helpful. If you can't do this, then find a group locally and try to study a book together. Try at least to read it like in a book club together. You'll keep yourself motivated. If there's a series online, follow that series online and learn from it and ask questions. Hopefully, that, inshallah, that will help. And when I say a structured program, I don't mean that you need to finish the entire program, but at least take one course or two or three or five and cover the basics. And then you could move from that, inshallah, onto other books. And how do you stay steadfast in seeking knowledge? Making dua, structured program, having friends around you who will help you, and trying to push yourself by limiting or scheduling what you want to study each day, and making it fun, and kind of moving on between different subjects so that you don't get bored, wallahu a'lam. One more question or two more questions, because they want us to make dua, inshallah. Go ahead. So, is it hard to bring or regain the proximity of the angel after he may have distanced himself from you because of a sin? No, it's not. And the simplest way to do it is to repent. And if you repent from a sin, it goes away. So repent and do something good, and he comes back, and he comes closer. And repentance needs to be in accordance with the sin. The greater sin needs greater repentance, and the smaller sin, smaller repentance would be sufficient, inshallah. Last one, inshallah. Huh? You do speak for yourself, yes. So, okay, that's good. When we're saying that angel speaks on your tongue, the shaitan speaks on your tongue, we don't seek, as I said, they don't possess you. And in possess you mean what? That they take control of all of your faculties and all of your speech. They don't do that. But some words, some phrases, that's what happens. Right? Inshallah. So because of the adhan, inshallah, I need to stop. But inshallah, we'll continue bi'idhnillah azza wa jal next week at the same time. Jazakumullah khaira. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And as you are getting ready, inshallah, for that, we ask Allah azza wa jal to help the sister who's asking for dua. May Allah azza